cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, that is the MKT show, and you can catch it live. Well, how are the team on the MKT show? Are they behaving themselves?
They are what they are, a bunch of scoundrels. But we're doing what's called an AFCON watch party now. So the MKT show is the official TikTok partner, by the way.
Oh, wow.
TikTok sponsors of AFCON. So you can join us. This evening we'll be doing Nigeria, Egypt. So join us. You can follow the MKT show on TikTok, and we'll be live from 5 o'clock, and the game's at 6. So yeah, join us. We've been, we're two games in now. So if you want to watch football in an interesting way rather than listening to commentary, join us tonight. Yeah. It's going well.
Very good. I like to hear that. Make sure you don't miss the show. Excellent. Listen to this. Khadda says, New Year's resolutions are usually just temporary. You don't say, but I do agree with
Sadly.
You.
Sadly.
She also says, you have to be so set in forgiving new habits that nothing and nobody gets in your way. It takes willpower and discipline. That is what people should work on more. All right, Khadda, maybe have you figured that out? Is that what you do?
Well said. Well, the last part is true, the willpower and discipline, but it's really hard.
Zero.
Yeah. It's not as easy as just writing down New Year's resolutions.
I don't do resolutions anymore. I used to do them. But I still do my action lists, which I suppose you could call resolutions of some kind. But I don't do resolutions.
I think like the trick is not waiting for New Year's, right? Because that's just like what we use as like the cause. It's like, oh well, because it's a New Year, let's see what we can improve. Just do that shit like at any time of year when you feel like you need to change and when you feel like there's room for growth. And that's when like you really are serious about it, right? Because I guess you're not making announcements and you're not like, you know, going, you're just doing it because there's no pressure around you to have to say, I'm trying something different. Usually around New Year's, people just say it so that they can have something new. Not many people do. Some people just continue living their same old lives, doing the same old shit every single day. So you kind of, you know, want to be able to say, yeah, me too. And then like 2 weeks later, you go back to normal life.
And by the way, that's okay. You know, like,
absolutely.
You have to fix what you are. Like the difficult thing, and somebody called me a grouch because I told her I don't want to hear her New Year's resolutions. It's nonsense, right? Is that I said, look, it's okay to seek comfort. Most people do. Being disciplined is not for everyone.
No.
Like, and yes, I am sanctimonious about it.
Hugely.
Because I know how painful it is. Yes, extremely sanctimonious. No one, well, also, I'm a cultural commentator, so it is important for me to take the position of sanctimony.
If I could get $50 for every time you've said that this year, I'm sure I'd be sitting on at least like $2,500, dude. I swear, last week, every single day when we did the show, you said it like 4 times in a show. 4 times.
Okay, but how would you know? How would you know I'm a cultural commentator if I don't tell you? So
right,
there's that.
Right,
you know what I mean?
You're absolutely correct. I just feel like, you know, cultural commentators perhaps don't go around commentating on their cultural commentating.
Let's just talk about something else that I'm fascinated by this kind of thing. Now, I've never been. I don't think I've ever spent more than, maybe at an upper limit, at a bachelor's party or wherever, where I was paying for the friend who was getting married. I don't think I've ever spent more than a couple of R1,000 on the drinks bill. But I don't know if you guys saw this story about this. There's a place in Brooklyn in Pretoria that had a table of people there. Look at this bill. 1.3 million rand spent on drinks at a Pretoria club. Yep.
What?
No, it isn't fake news. So you look at that bill. It says 1.374 million rand spent at this place. And someone actually spent that on drinks and food at a Pretoria club over the past weekend. And they've gone and they've actually called up the club and they verified that this actually was, the money was spent, 1.3 million rand, on one night of drinks. Funniest thing is if you break the bill down, it's hilarious, right? They bought a whole bunch of stuff, including this. Let me just show you. This is one of the bottles of champagne that they ordered, like 50 of them. It costs 7,000 rand a bottle. Armand de Brignac Brut Rose, Ace of Spades, and it's a rosé.
Probably can't even pronounce it.
And it costs, I'd love to know how they pronounced it when they said it. 7,000 rand a bottle. So here's the breakdown, because I love stories like this. It just grabs me. So 100 bottles of those Ace of Spades champagnes at 10,000 Rand each, 50 bottles of the Veuve Riche champagne at 2,000 Rand each, 20 bottles of Dom Perignon champagne at 6,000 Rand each, 10 300 ml cans of Coke. But then my favorite part
control.
Of this. Yeah, I know. No, there has to be something. And then my favorite part of it, there were two food platters. Just two food platters at 650 and 550 Rand each. You gotta love that.
Hey, man, you have to wash the money somehow. Like, you, in terms of how do I wash my money that I'm obviously, like, illegally. You have to launder it one way or another. So, hey, man, it is what it is.
Well, to whoever's credit for paying a bill of 1,300,000 Rand, they did tip the waiter 124,000 Rand.
Oh, that's lovely. See, there's always a silver lining.
Well, wow. Okay, we got to ask ourselves, what kind of person has 1.3 million Rand just on the credit card for a normal night out? This was not New Year's Eve. I don't know whether it was maybe a birthday or something important, but even if it was the birthday of all birthdays, 1.3 million Rand. So Marty says, Marty obviously has some inside info here. They wasted champagne by spraying it all over each other. Check out the videos. Steve,
even better.
Steve says, which political party member was that? Sanele says, why would they do that? They should have just bought a stake in the business. Yeah. But you know what?
Yeah.
Popping bottles is a thing right now, says Ndogozo. So, no, okay.
It's been a thing.
They poured 500 bottles of the expensive Ace champagne on top of the pasta whose birthday. It was a pasta.
You should have led with that information. Coming together.
I didn't know that until now. All right. No, so, Bulero, you're a cultural commentator, as you keep telling
us.
Yes. So
yes, you're right.
What is this all about, this conspicuous consumption and the spending of outrageous amounts of money on liquor? What are we saying about ourselves as South Africans, and what are these people saying about us?
You know, we are trapped in this, Gareth, is that a generation of us have never had it like this before. And easy come, easy go. It's always been that way. You know, from the people I've seen in my life, and I don't know what people's lives are like, but easy come, easy go. And especially pastors, right? That's easy money, especially in Africa. That's easy money. So for them to live like this, and what it says to us, it's showing us, they say, hey, where your money goes, you're telling me what you care about is, my God, the conspicuous consumption tells us all that we're in a terrible place, because we got to buy stuff for people to love us. It's crazy to me. Especially in a place like Africa where, you know, the church is at the center, on a very serious note. The church is very much at the center of most of African societies. And this behavior is not abnormal, by the way. If you know pastors and church people, this behavior is not abnormal. You are supposed to lead our communities from poverty.
So what?
To what now?
Why do the communities that are feeding this machine? Because this is poor people's money, right? They're not rich people who are making donations of 20,000 Rand a month to the church. These are poor people who are giving like 50 bucks, 100 bucks, 200 bucks every week when they go to the church. Do they not see these videos either? Do they not see their pastor being sprayed with champagne, which costs more than what they get a month in salary? That one bottle of champagne that I showed you, 6,999 Rand. Surely, for someone who's, I don't know, they're just eking out an existence. They're trying to put their kids through school. They've got expenses, especially in a month like January. My God. And I see this. Like, what's going on in their heads? And why do they allow this pastor to get away with it? Why don't they all just en masse up and leave the church? Go to another church where the pastor isn't spraying the other people with 7,000 Rand champagne.
And it's part of my problem with religion, especially in the African context. I mean, I'm not religious, to be very clear. I'm an atheist. So for me, part of the problem is that the promise of salvation, especially in the reality of being African, is so great. You know, once you're indoctrinated into the promise of salvation,
oh my
because
God.
It's actually an endless promise. So the pastor almost deserves it. You know how people are. In their mind,
and let's just say let's just say also, because I don't want to turn this into a pastor bashing session, even though they deserve to be bashed. It could easily have been a politician as well, with the same rationale applied. Like the politician will save you, and you know you'll get state money, and the government is there to help you. That kind of rationale is exactly the same as the church will save rationale. And I suppose for a lot of people, their lives are just so horrible that they go they filled up with hope when they make these decisions and these interactions happen, and they go.
Yeah. So no, it's been like an ongoing thing, and I don't want to speak too much to the actual like pastor side of it, because as you're saying, Gareth, it literally could have been anyone. But I think there's like a very deep psychological factor that we are completely omitting in this conversation, particularly in the Black community when it comes to money. And it's a conversation I had a couple of months ago with some friends who actually live in the township, and for them it was like growing up, you know, you kind of have to feed off of like the ownership of material things as like your benchmark of being a man, like, or being worthy of anything, because already internally you're growing up in a place and in a society where, you know, you're kind of told that you ain't shit. So you look around and people strive for, you know, these great cars and, you know, these great labels and these fancy things. And even if they can't afford them, that's what they strive to. Because when you've got those things, people look at you and they say, oh my gosh, wow.
They'll respect
you. So now
you.
At a higher level, they respect you. So at now a higher level, when you're like South Africa's biggest gangster and you're going to Konka every single Saturday or Sunday and you're splurging, spending this much money, look at all the attention that the world is giving you. Look how much respect you get just for that. So it's a very, you know,
so they're
psychological thing.
I have two very different ways of looking at this. The first part is dispassionately, and that part of me says, this is great, because conspicuous consumption and outrageous spending is just putting that money back into the economy. So if you're clever enough, if you're clever enough to open up a restaurant or a bar or a club that is popular with people who waste money like this, then that's very smart of you, and you're getting some of the benefits of these people who don't know how quickly they're going to lose the money that they've gained. Or maybe they won't, because maybe it's just the income is just so enormous from things like churches or tenders or whatever it might be. But I'm pleased they're spending the money, because they're not putting it in a Swiss bank account. They're putting it straight back into the economy, which is very good for everyone else in South Africa, because then it circulates, right? So you might get a little bit of it if you're the supplier, or you're a waiter, or you're someone who's making the tablecloths for this restaurant, because now you've got to buy a whole bunch of new tablecloths because there's this pink champagne over all of them. Whatever it is, it's going back into the economy. So that's good. That's great news. So that's the unemotional part of me that's like, good. That if someone goes and they buy a Bugatti with the money that they've stolen from other people, that's good, because that money goes straight back into the economy. But then the other part of me goes, there's something we need to address if we want to get better, because we're not going to get better as a society, about this crass materialism, about exactly what you just brought up now, Lebang, about this idea that respect will come to you if you just show people how rich you are. And I wonder if that's true, because I think there are lots of people in communities, rich and poor, all over the world, who don't actually respect you just because you have stuff. And many people actually begrudge you or hate you because you have stuff, especially if it's ill-gotten gains. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're changing in that way, because certainly this was the kind of thing you used to see a lot of. And maybe you do still see as much of it now. I don't know what the statistics are, because these kinds of stories are the exception, not the rule, right? 1.3 million rand on alcohol. The reason it's a story is because that doesn't happen every day. But the shamelessness of it sometimes brings negative and not positive results, even though these people immediately assume they're going to get positive results from conspicuous spending.
Do we know where that was, the spending, by the way?
Pretoria, Brooklyn?
Somewhere in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay. So, all right, that area is what it is. Because, you know, in a South African context, and I was trying to explain this to my little nephew, because his mom's done insane things in the world, so they've got more money than God himself. And I was trying to explain to him why he shouldn't take stuff when he goes back to the rural village where we're from and flex on people. Because there's another layer, and people may not understand it within the South African context.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, all conversations as it stands have to happen with color involved in our country. Absolutely. When you talk about money.
Yeah.
And there's another thing, and I always ask, because I don't get the context. I've always lived where I've lived in South Africa. But I always say, it's interesting to me that black people are always flexing on black people. I've never seen them when Jewish people are around now, okay, or Afrikaans people are around. You know what I mean? Is there, there's something within the black psyche now, and what it, I don't know what it is. I'm not Dr. Hanan and his compatriots, but there's something about that which concerns me greatly, because black people love to flex on black people, especially not in and around the suburbs, when they go home to the hood.
Yeah, this is an interesting point. First of all, none of us assumed this was a white person straight off, which is interesting.
No.
Yeah.
We all sort of assumed straight away it was
we knew, black. Yeah.
Second of all, what you're saying is so interesting, because when I like the term flex here. It's a good way of summarizing what we've heard about the story, but they're not doing it to impress a white person or a foreigner or, you know, someone who is in business or whatever. They're doing it to impress, like, as you said, rural black folk or like their own families and friends, which is strange because those are the people, and this could lead into a discussion again around the black tax, because if you're going to flex around your relatives and friends, they're going to ask you for money, right? So you can't complain about it if you've shown off like you've got a new car or you've got all this cash or you're spending money and spraying people with champagne. Then you can't complain when those people ask you for cash. But there's another part of that that you also kind of hinted at now, where it's almost like a "now I'm better than you" sort of thing, which is not nice, and we've got to figure out where that comes from.
It's very sad.
This is hard stuff to talk about.
It's very sad. It's difficult to talk about, yes. And I think it's like one of those things where you actually take a step back and you realize how bad it really is. Like, you guys know me by now. I'm just like, oh, like, world peace. I genuinely want the world to become better. So when I see shit like this, I'm like, you guys are part of the problem. I saw in December, there was a tweet from a girl in Cape Town. You know, generally, like, most people in Joburg go down to Cape Town for New Year's just as, like, a celebration or whatever the case is. Like, 80% of Joburg just goes, well, 80% of the north of Joburg anyway. And a black girl from Cape Town literally tweeted with her chest, like, can these Joburg blacks please go back? You know, we want our Cape Town back. Dude, she was like, you guys and your Kasi behavior. The term, she said Kasi. God. Gussy behavior. Can you guys go back to Joburg? And this was a black chick. Yes. I was like, this is so deep, and it's so sad that you can see and speak of your fellow brothers and sisters in this way and so confidently. And many other black people agreed with her. Like, yeah, since these Joburgers came to Cape Town, blah, 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 blah. Are you guys high? Are you guys sick? People are thriving off of us being against each other. Wake the fuck up and get your shit together.
I mean,
it's
there's a lot.
I wish I had the solution.
There's a lot to unpack there. I mean, she actually said, would you Joburg blacks? She actually said it like that.
Dude, I wish I could find the exact thing. But she just said, your gassy behavior, take it back to Joburg. And black people from Joburg were extremely offended.
I just want to say to all Cape Townians, you should be very grateful for any Joburg money coming down there to be spent.
Yes.
You should be very happy about that. Whether you're black, white, you're rich, poor, you know, Cape Town needs Joburg money to keep the machine oiled. And we don't want to hear your first of all, don't be geographically bigoted, all right? There's nothing that makes you're not better than us just because you're in Cape Town. Funnily enough, Dogozo says here, I did New Year's Eve in Cape Town. The amount of bottles popped at the restaurant I was in was ridiculous. It really got me thinking. So,
Joburg was there.
Yeah, exactly what you were saying. Joburg was in Cape Town. And I know the Cape Townians are going to think I'm being, I'm being mean to them, but it's a good thing when we come down there and spend our money. Just like the owner of that restaurant, do you think he's complaining? They were spraying.
No.
Did it bother him? Did he go, oh, don't spray all over my restaurant, guys. Please, you're going to mess up my restaurant. He's counting the shekels as they roll in. He's going, Bring it on. Spend. Whatever you Spray want, on. Guys. I'll bring you another case or seven. He was probably calling other restaurants around town saying, like, I'm about to run out of this champagne. Bring me yours. I'll pay you a premium. Cape Town, take our money. Even if we behave like we're from the Kasi, just take our money, all right? Stop complaining.
Take us for who we are. Like, yes, we are Kasi behaving people, and so what? It is what it is. I wish we could find a solution, man. I'm quite interested to see, like, in the next 10, 15 years, if our kids will be, you know, relating with one another on this level. I hope the fuck not.
I hope not either. But it's not even like people turning against each other. It's like we've now developed. We've gone, in some ways, the race thing is still the thing, as Bulelo mentioned. But there's also a class thing that's starting to creep in. And by class, I don't mean class in any, like, positive way. I mean the negative way, like rich versus poor. And it's starting to become a thing where you've got the elites who are white and black now, and they look down on and make fun of and do outrageous things like we've just discussed in this story with this 1.3 million rand bill. They do it to make the people who don't have money feel bad. They do it. There's a mean street. There's a nastiness in that that is very, very weird that we need to figure out. And listen, we're not going to figure it out in this show this morning, but it's worth talking about. And it certainly got everybody fired up in the comments section. So a lot of people are saying things about pastors, about politicians. A lot of people say basically these pastors are the worst. Dude69 says they didn't even pay for a lap dance. It's so disappointing. And what is that godless pastor doing in that joint? I don't think they were in a strip club, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were. You know, frankly, would you think any less or any more of the pastor if it was a strip club? You'd probably be like, yeah, that's probably where they went. Who knows?
Yeah, and 1.4 million. Yeah, I'm hoping the guy saw a nipple or something. Yes, that's 1.4.
That's a lot of money. Carl says it should be a lifestyle audit. Yeah, SARS, why aren't you paying attention to that instead of going after good law-abiding citizens, right? Anyway, pastors are as bad as scammers, says Robin.
Yep, I'd agree. I would agree.
It is amazing, and it's not a South African thing, this, but it is amazing how some people have, when they make a lot of money, even if they were poor to start off with, it's amazing how quickly they start to hate the poor.
That's money doesn't change. It makes you more of who you are.
But who you really are. It exposes you.
But there is a thing. Yeah. You see this in America, too. You see these you know, extremely privileged, extremely rich people. And you hear in the way that they say it, because they're so patronizing about the poor. They're like, they somehow think that they're the guardians. They're the self-appointed guardians of the poor. They sometimes say they can speak on behalf of the poor. There's a lot of people who really just, they hate the poor, hey? And it comes out. It comes out when you ask them, like, you know, in those rare honest moments after they've had like three bottles of this fancy expensive champagne, and you're like, how do you feel about spending $7,000 on a bottle of champagne? And they go, yeah, I can afford it. Plus, they'll say something like, if you can't afford it, too bad. You know, which is just like there's such a hatred for anyone who's not as rich as them. It's like they think they're super special just because they got money. And who knows? Some people think money is impressive. So it goes two ways, because the other way is like these poor people who are hugely impressed by someone who would open up a bottle of 6,000 rand champagne. You want to do that? You go ahead. Doesn't impress me.
And there's nothing wrong with being a baller, by the way. Like, my thing is, if you're a baller, ball out. You do you, right? Mm-hmm. Right? It's when it's got this insidious side to it, like you're saying. But for me, you know, it's a super interesting thing for me, as I'm becoming a bit of a Bali now. I can kind of feel it. Is to truly see who people are, you need to give them power. And I've always said, I view money in a very practical sense. Money is power you can put in your pocket. And that's all I've ever said. I'm not very romantic about money. Mm. It is portable power. Mm-hmm. And the more I see some people around me get of it, I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, this is who you are now.
This is who you know, when
you get cash.
You know what?
When you get cash, you don't have to hide it.
You know what the move is now? The move is to buy into that club in Brooklyn. We got to find out which place it is, because I'll tell you what. Because now that someone has spent 1.3, all the other people who like to spend like that are going to want to up that, you know, because this guy got so much attention, even though we don't know who he is. And now all the other people are like, oh, so that's where we've got to go to spend our money and show everybody that we're spending it. Yes. So now that place is going to do even better. They're going to make even
good
more
for the business
money.
Owner.
Yeah, this is great PR for them, right?
Yeah, good. Pay your taxes though.
Also, it's not really anything new. I feel like Gonga, an average slip at Gonga in Soweto, you're looking at around like 300,000 on any given night. So this happens, and that's just one table, Gareth. That's one table. I don't know how many tables there are at Gonga, but what I can tell you for free is that 1.3M. That's nothing compared to what they make, like numbers wise at Gonga.
Wow. Nah,
it's nothing, dude.
You're teaching me things. I did not know this.
So I'm doing a night at Gonga quite soon. I'm waiting for a friend of mine to get back. And he said I have to go. I mean, obviously I'm leaving my card at home. Forget it. I don't drink anyway, but that's all on him. I told him, you are organizing everything. There's no way. And he said, come on, chief. It's you said you want to try new things. You want to be Gonga just once. So I'll let you know what the vibe is there.
Please take notes for us. Like, I want like a play for play exactly what pops off around there. Because I see 100%. The videos and I'm always in awe by how much liquor people buy and the girls with the sparklers walking around. Those things look cuck expensive, dude. Cuck expensive.
Wow.
I love it. I'll let you know.
Apparently, his name is Pastor Passion Java from Zimbabwe. Passion.
Wow.
How?
Passion Java.
Passion Java. Okay. And, you know, again, like his Dogozo's point, aren't we a poor country? Well, there are loads of poor people in South Africa, but my God, there are rich people here. You don't know, like none of us know, like how some of South Africa's wealthiest people live. And I'm not saying necessarily people who have got institutional wealth, you know, generational wealth. I'm just saying like cash money lying around. These guys, if they can spend 1.3 million, they probably have a whole lot more than that just lying around in cash at home. Some people are genuinely, outrageously wealthy. They will buy stuff, like stuff that you and I think about saving for a year for. They will buy on a whim. It's incredible. So there we go.
A friend of mine's father, to that point, so he's the opposite end of the spectrum. The money is insane. But I popped around to say, how's it?
But you'll never see them make a thing about it, right?
No. I see a new Land Rover, you know, but the Stapura one, not the one that...
Stapura.
Last number.
There's, you know, where they make like 50 of them in the country or whatever. And because he's into the camping vibe.
Yeah.
I say, no, my man, what's going on there? He goes, yeah, no, my dad just, yeah, you know how he is. Turns out this thing costs 1.8 million rand. And he just said, no, my dad said, no, he needs a second one because the other one, like his the mom's starting to go on golf tours and stuff now. She must take that other one, which is about 1 million. This one is 1.8 million. And the guy said he just felt it on the weekend. Just like, yeah, no, he picked that thing up. I think it was in that week. 1.8 million just to be able to go,
wow,
a little something to decorate outside, eh? It's a different world.
So I love
that's when I knew I was part of the poverty.
Yeah, you under the poverty.
Our audience are really smart. They know everything. We found out it's Passion Java, right? The pasta, and we also found out the place is called 012. I actually drove past it on Saturday. I drove past that place on Saturday. I was like,
oh wow,
Was it popping?
Yeah, there's a lot of activity there. It looked like it was a happening place. Hey, you know what? Like I said,
maybe you pop in there, Gareth. But plus, when you pop in, Barrett, I've walked around with you once or twice. Like the people love you, Gareth. Imagine you were there.
You think we get, All right, let's go. You, me,
if you were there, Gareth.
No, let's go. Let's go and do it. We'll take Simpiwe. Let's go.
Yo.
Let's see who pays for our drinks.
Yeah, we drink for free the entire night, that's for sure. I just worry that we'll get spilled with alcohol. That's my only concern.
Oh, my God. No, you don't want that.
It's sticky.
All right.
Nope.
Well, the year is still a baby, and we're all busy trying to think about what we are going to achieve this year, what might happen to us, where we might go. So we got Zoe Rose, who's going to join us in a moment, and we've decided, so just so Zoe knows and so you know as well, we've decided this morning we are going to put aside all of our cynical bullshit, and we're going to give Zoe a chance to explain tarot to us. She sent an email to us, actually, and she said she'd love to come onto the show and just explain how tarot works, because a lot of people don't really understand what it entails, and it can help to get a reading if you know what it's all about. She's actually got a YouTube channel, which is called Zoe Rose Tarot, and you can go and watch that if you want to see more. And she's gonna help us to figure this stuff out. And I'm going to say this again, because Bulelo's the one that I need to, you know, emphasize this point to. I know, don't laugh. You know what I mean. He's going to be sitting there. Bulelo's going to be sitting there going, oh, no, this sounds like nonsense. Just for this morning, let's keep an open mind, like Lebang says, and Lebang is very open-minded about this stuff, so I'm going to let her lead the discussion when it comes to actually doing the tarot reading. But first of all, hey Zoe, welcome, and it's nice to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing? Zoe, can you hear us? Right, let's see.
Mulelo, your heart. Yeah. Your heart.
Great Rising.
Holding.
I can hear you. Great Rising. Thanks for having me.
Great Rising. There we go.
Great Rising.
Thank you. So, Zoe, I've reprimanded Bulelo before we even needed to reprimand him. So, I'm judging him in advance here. But I wanted you to explain, because you've got this YouTube channel called Zoe Rose Tarot, and I want you to explain to people what tarot actually is and how it works, and then we can get into some specifics later on. But why don't you start off by telling us how you got into it and what tarot is, because as far as I know, it's just this pack of cards that like mystical gypsy people throw down on the table, and then they tell you something about your future. So if we can figure this out together, it would make a huge difference. Maybe you can help us to figure it out. Let me just see if I can get her back on here. Zoe, can you hear us now?
I think she should do a reading on Bulelo.
Oh my God, Bulelo.
I think we've lost Zoe for now. We'll try to get her back. We're working on it.
Are you up for doing a reading?
What's that?
Bulelo, please. Please do a reading with her. Like, I beg. Like, last week, we were praying for you to find love. If she does a reading on you and she says anything about love, then
it's over.
It's happening in the place to be tonight. Going down.
You know what? I love this. I'll always be open to it. You know? So
let's see. Zoe, I'm gonna try and get you back on here, because we've been struggling to connect to you this morning for some reason. So tell us about tarot and how you got into it and where it all comes from.
Oh no,
this is not great. This is bad PR for tarot that we can't even get a good connection. I'll tell you what, Zoe, turn off your video and just have the audio, and maybe that'll speed things up a little bit if you've got a bad connection there.
It's Mbulelo's heart, Gareth. Like, if Mbulelo doesn't want something to happen, and it's actually a concept, like, where you can speak ill or not want something to happen. If it's in your heart, it's witchcraft without even opening your mouth. That's what Mbulelo's doing right now. In his heart of hearts, he knows he doesn't want this to happen, because it's going to reveal some truths about him
that he doesn't want
us to know about.
And he's using his social commentator superpowers to canvas. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
So I've got my crystals, which you can hear. I'll go put these on the router. That way it'll open up. Yeah, what I'm saying.
All right.
And then we can take it from there.
Let's try one more time. Hey, Zoe, can you hear us now?
You got crystal.
Okay, Zoe, do me a favor. Turn off your camera, because I think it's an internet connection speed problem. So turn off your camera, and then we can just hear you. You don't need to switch everything off. Just the camera, and then we'll carry on that basis. Can you hear us now? Hello.
Oh, no.
It's your bad energy, dude.
It is.
Oh, what are you guys talking about? Oh, my gosh.
It's the chakras. They're not aligning right now, bro.
Can you not see? Okay, I'm clearly holding the purple stone here. And,
what does the purple one stand for?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sister Lebang. I'm really glad you asked. And by the way, I should have said it earlier, but this is the time now, Grand Rising. Is that this is not only about power, but at the same time, it's about compassion and forgiveness. And that is the magic of the purple stone. So I don't know what you guys are talking. It's not me.
Here's some good advice before we speak to Zoe from It Is What It Is. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. That's very good. And Zero to Zenful saying Zoe needs to change her internet provider. But let's just give her a chance here because we do sometimes have technical difficulties. It's not Zoe's fault. Hey, Zoe, how are you doing?
So this is what I have for you guys.
Ah, there she is.
What's going on? Who's who in the zoo?
All right, so Zoe, just I don't know if you heard the question I asked right at the beginning, but
can barely hear any of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I have to read your lips now. But I'm shuffling, and do you see? I told you, bad juju. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you loud and clear. That's from Bulelo.
All right, so Zoe, tell us about tarot. Tell us how you got involved in this. I don't think she can hear us properly. Guys, Simpiwe,
are you back?
Dory, can you sort this out for me? I don't know how we're meant to do an interview with her if she can't hear us and we can't hear her.
Damn. And that was going well. Did you see that first card? Yeah.
That looked like a king sitting in a throne somewhere. I don't know what it looked like.
You think that was you?
No, I don't. I'm a cultural commentator. I you know, the thing about being... You know, much like King John found out, as you know, on that fateful day on the bridge when they forced him to sign something which made him powerless as the king.
The Magna Carta, yes.
The Magna Carta, indeed, is that I prefer to be the... Or I'm almost forced in as a cultural commentator to be the king maker as opposed to be the king, because you cannot comment... You cannot be the news and also commentate on the news at the same time. So think of me as a king maker rather than the king. You know, that's what the people are saying.
I would love to take you seriously here, but you're not the person who I'm going to ask about the relevance of the king card in the tarot pack. I don't even know what kinds of cards there are in the tarot pack. Have you ever been for a reading, Lebang?
Not at all, but I did consider it. You know, I thought of it at one stage when, like, my life was going to shit. I was like, clearly, something's up. But I don't know, man. I mean, it would be fun just to sit there and see. But I don't really know if I would, like, really take.
Have you been for Reiki before? Like, have you been for Reiki or any of that kind of stuff?
But I do believe in the spiritual realm that I do know exists, as far as I'm concerned.
Before we get 100%. to trying again to connect with Zoe or talking about Reiki, do you know what I went for last week, Bulelo? And I'd like to have your opinion on this. I had like a pain down my leg for like a couple of days because I'm old. But I went to a chiropractor and she did something called dry needling.
Oh, yeah.
You've had that before, right?
God's work. Always. Gareth, when you work out, that is God's work. Dry needling.
It's pretty wild stuff. I've never had it before, but she takes these acupuncture needles and she like puts them right into the muscles. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then she turns them around and you would think it would be really painful, but it's this weird sensation. I've never had any feeling like it before. It's not pleasant, but it isn't sore. It's hard to describe. When
like getting a tattoo.
I've never had a tattoo, so I don't even know if I can compare it to that. But it's the needle goes. How far does that needle go into you?
Till they hit. So it depends. It depends how deep the problems are, but it can go right to the nerve. I mean, you felt. So it's your first time, but you'll feel the more you go, and if you've got tension in your neck, is it often needs to go deeper till sometimes we're sitting right on the nerve, and you got. Yeah, but I get needle when I'm properly at it. So from about the middle of Feb, I'll probably be needling twice a month. I mean, every fortnight. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
I was very nervous because I in my head, all I'm thinking is, what if they hit like some artery or, you know, I'm a panicker when it comes to this stuff. And especially if you've never done it before, like the second time and the third time, obviously I'll be more relaxed, but it was my first time. So I went there and I thought, this is going to be very, very iffy. And what if it goes wrong? And, you know, she hits the main fucking artery and then I start bleeding out or something. That doesn't really happen though, does it?
No, it's not going to happen. They're also doctors. What are you worried about? Don't worry about it. It's not just like, I think I wouldn't let like a masseuse dry needle me. I know some people do that. Like, you know, a physio or a, you know, or a chiro. Let's get in there. You studied for 7 years. Let's
Carl says dry needling is amazing, really effective, but chiropractors are witch doctors. Khadda says, 15 years ago, I was told to have a neck op. I opted for dry needling. No problems now with my neck. Wow. Okay. See? This is why I bring these things up on the show, because we get good advice.
That's God's work. Oh, my God.
Melissa says,
I couldn't live without it.
Dry needling is the shit, so she's into it. It's painful, but it feels so good afterwards, says Snae. Wow, okay.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Some interesting opinions. New. Yeah, who knew? But I've had this stupid pain down my leg for, like, I don't know, it must be 4 or 5 weeks now, and I just decided eventually it needs to be sorted out. And the chiropractor, like, you know, they pull you and they, you know, they do that thing where they put their hands under your back and then they click those vertebrae into position. Now, I don't know if it's good for you or not, but man, it's very satisfying. Like when you hear that click, click, click in your spine, you're like, yo.
Yeah.
Probably needed that. That was probably something I was in desperate need of for a long time. Anyway.
It feels like your body's being put back into place. Like it was temporarily disconnected. And now with that little crack, it's like, oh, a puzzle piece being put back together. Exactly. Feels like the right thing. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I like that. All right. So I don't think we're going to get to speak to Zoe this morning. I'm sad about that because I really did want to chat to her about her YouTube channel and see what we could find out about the future, what the future holds for Mbulelo. But bit of an internet issue this morning. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm also sad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So while we got some time, I do want to talk about this because this is something that Lebang and I both are very sick of. And I don't know if you've spent a lot of time over the holidays doing this, but invariably because it's January and you'll need to be updating and administrating and sorting out and filing and reapplying and all of that stuff, you're going to be filling in forms. Now, surely in 2022, we have better ways of doing things than sitting and filling in reams and reams of forms. For example, I got my insurance people emailing me in the first week of January with the updated, you know, rates. In other words, just basically to tell me I'm going to be paying more for what the same thing I didn't get last year from them. Then I got from my like a policy that I've got. They sent me an update and said, oh, we're going to push up your premium. So it's, again, just to tell me that they're going to charge me a whole lot more. I have to apply for a new driver's license this month, which is another thing that I'm not in. You know, I'm not excited about any of this stuff. It's just stuff you have to do. But surely there's a way. And maybe, you know.
There has to be.
Maybe there's a business that someone. Because I'll tell you what, if you could start a business that could automate and take all this stuff out of your hands and just make it easier for you to do, man, people would be happy, wouldn't they?
Please. Yo, we actually beg you. And speaking of the driver's license, I was actually at the licensing department not long ago having to renew as well. Gareth, I've never seen so many people just unable to do something so simple like filling in a form and getting it done. Number one, because of COVID, you have to bring your own pen. So now they're not even giving us pens. So we're all kind of borrowing pens from each other, blah, 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 blah. All these forms just flying around. It's just absolute chaos. And here's the real guck thing. The real guck thing is we know that they are able to move everything to online. They've proven that because in order to apply, you have to apply online. But the actual form filling part, they don't want to do that because why? Then they can't do the corruption thing anymore. Then they can no longer, you know, misplace a docket or blah, blah. Everything will be recorded and it'll be there or the evidence. I feel like they're purposefully leaving us in the trenches so that they just can continue doing nonsense. It's horrible.
Maybe. I'm happy to bribe anyone if necessary. You know, I've spoken about this before. I don't want to stand in queues, man.
Fair enough.
All right, listen, it seems like we're going to try Zoe one last time because it looks like they managed to connect. Hey, Zoe, can you hear us now?
Great.
Let's just see. This is the last try we'll do with Zoe. Zoe, can you hear us?
Come forth, Zoe, come forth.
Nah, it's not going
to happen. Can you feel us?
No, damn. Sorry, guys, not going to happen. Sorry, Mbulelo, I interrupted you. I was going to try poor Zoe.
No, no, no. It's okay. No, you took the energy where it had to go. And Brother Gareth, what I want is I want to commend you for willing to be sort of vulnerable enough to go where the energy went. You know, part of a lot of humanity's tension is that. When your energy and your gut tells
you. You were going to say something about how it's okay to bribe sometimes to get to the front of the queue. That's what you were going to say.
No, no, no. I've got no problem with... And also, have some respect, Gareth. It's 2022.
Look at the chakras.
Now Mbulelo's the one who's got problems connecting.
That's what we call payback.
We missed all of that. Say it again. You got no problem?
It's not bribe. It's icho-cho. We call it icho-cho.
Thank you.
That's what we...
Quite right.
Yeah. But let me tell you something that, obviously, for those people who don't know, our international listeners, we have an African proverb called... And the quote unquote, 3 months bank statement. Yarr, if I never hear that again,
I hate
because
that.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Why, when I want to do a business loan with the same bank, I have three bank accounts with. Why do I have to bring 3 months bank statement, a semen sample, you know, my mother's left toenail? Mm-hmm. What is the story? You've got my data. You've got my spending habits. You've got my personal and business spending habits.
And then they say proof of address in a country like South Africa, proof of residence in a country like South Africa, where they know for sure people are living on top of each other. People can't afford even like the basics of a house or even like an apartment to rent. They're going to dare and ask you for proof of residence. Yo, the system is so cooked, man.
They will. And I think part of it is like just because we like to have a whole lot of paperwork so we won't get into trouble. And the institutions around us are the same. They don't want to get into trouble. So they spend a huge amount of time, and they make you spend a huge amount of time, having to prove X, Y, and Z just so that they won't be in, you know, in the shtuch if things don't go right. And I get that. But, you know, Fika, for example, we all have to, every time you get a SIM card, every time you get a bank card, every time you get anything, you have to Fika or Rika or whatever the hell it is.
Rika.
Somewhere there's a database with all of this info about us. And it seems to me the only people who get to use that information for any purpose is these goddamn marketing companies that contact you on New Year's Eve and say to you at like 7 o'clock in the evening, "Hi, would you like to buy insurance from XY?" No. Isn't the purpose of that to track down criminals and to find bad people and to, you know, get those guys who are stealing millions and millions from the coffers of the public treasury? That's what it's for, but it doesn't seem to be used for that. The only people who seem to use it properly are marketing companies. Direct marketing.
No, the future is data. The future is data, guys. The more data you can collect, the more money you can make. And I mean, you can imagine how much they sell our information for like tons. Because if you look up, like if you go to like the internet and you say insurance for my vehicle, I swear to God, within 5 minutes, you'll have like 10 different people calling you saying, "Oh, I see you're looking for insurance." And it's like, where the hell did you guys get my number? It's actually crazy. The more and more we get into this meta universe, we are screwed.
I remember looking for, I looked something up. We said we'd go through our Google search results this week, and that could be a fun exercise, which we didn't get to today. But I remember looking up once something to do with like a parent-child thing, because we were talking about something with Dr. Hanan. And then the next thing, I had like adverts for nappies coming through. Like suddenly the algorithm had listened to me or seen my Google history, and suddenly it was telling me, you need to buy nappies. Well, here's this, you know, you can buy 50 for the price of like 20 or whatever. It's just such a mess.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Clearly,
what's listening. Really scary, is that it's like they can almost predict your. I don't want to say that they can predict your thoughts, but like sometimes what you're thinking just kind of appears like on your phone, and you're like, how did they know that? Like, this is getting very creepy. Like, it's either they're definitely listening to us, or they like are really calculating our steps in so much detail that they can just sort of predict what your next thing is. Like, I mean, if you're remodeling your house, for example, and you're looking at a kitchen, You know, one day you're going to look for a sink. The next day they'll show you like a different type of tap. Then they'll show you a fridge.
Right.
Then they'll show you. It's almost like insane.
Well, Tiger DC says, I'm all for being microchipped in order to avoid filling out forms. If you could just wave a microchip in your wrist over a device, and then they'd get all your info and they could process you quicker. I don't know that I'd be against that, frankly.
But here's my thing. At what cost? You can open your bank account and access your details with your thumbprint. So why are we still doing this? Is I have a unique way for you to identify me. You are the bank. You made me do this when I opened my bank account. Why are we still doing this? Well, why do you have to reduce me to this mumish every time? And it's always, you've always forgotten one form at home, right? Sorry. You know what? Say, I'm sorry. That one we didn't know. Gladys in, I don't know, pharmaceuticals didn't. There's a new system. She didn't know the training was separate. There's always like one thing. Like, I have a life too, man. Yarr.
They don't care, dude. Because remember, their lives are already sketchy. They're working at like in public service, whether it's home affairs or traffic department. They're already sad. Now they want you to be equally miserable. You will drive back to the police station and get that signed affidavit. If not, you won't get your driver's license. Even if it's your off day, you can only come back next week. They don't give a rat's ass. You will be as miserable as them. And it's
Sucky,
man.
My favorite is, sorry, the system is down, or the machine is broken. The machine that makes the card, sorry.
The system.
Offline.
Your African proverb. African proverb since. Sorry, sir. Or the other one is void. Since we're doing deep African proverbs.
Yeah.
Ngceli void.
Best believe that's an announcement. Everybody in the shop will know that your card declined. Will know that your, it will never be, sorry, your card declined.
No.
Decline. Yeah. Oh, I hate it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Why? So are you embarrassing. Doing this, Mercy? Why?
Oh my God. All right, well, listen, I'm afraid we definitely tried with poor old Zoe. We're going to see if we can't get her on a future show, because I do want to talk to her, and there's stuff that I think we're going to learn from her, even our resident cynic in Bulalo. So we'll get to that at some point.
I'm not a cynic. Look at me. You know what? Let's bring a moratorium
between the
fourth dimension.
You're just mocking.
No. If anything, let's bring a moratorium in our battle, in our war between me and the fifth dimension. Here are my crystals. And to this I say, I choose peace, fourth world.
Stop it.
It's not me.
We will continue these and other ridiculous conversations in the next show. And that's all we got time for this morning. But we will see you tomorrow bright and early at 6 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. Cheers. Have a good day.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.